Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are tuned into Radio Islam. It is now 2:15 exactly, and you tuned into the Ummahat show. Alhamdulillah, we had a good show last week, and it was a bit heart-wrenching, and it was quite sad. I think it played in a lot of our minds throughout the week, and just to ensure the listeners that we have been following up on the case, and inshallah, help will be provided, inshallah, with your du'as as well. Please remember the brother in your special du'as. Today's show, inshallah, the lines will be open, so please do call in, tell us what you think, tell us what you feel. There is an SMS line available as well, the same SMS line that's been mentioned before previously, but rather call in, inshallah, we would love to hear your voices and hear from you. To start off today's program, I'll be reading a write-up that's written by a lady by the name of Nadira Engel. Nadira Engel is an author. She's also a qualified therapist in terms of marriage, counseling, abuse, drugs, all of those things. So it's quite interesting, and I want to start off today's program with that. So I ask all the listeners, stop what you're doing, put everything down, sit down, and just make this time your time and listen to what the author has to say. So Bismillah, she says, somewhere there is a woman, 30, no children. People ask her, still no kids? Her response varies from day to day, but it usually includes forced smiles and restraint. Nope, not yet, she says with a chuckle, muffling her frustration. Well, don't wait forever. That clock is ticking, you know, the sage says before departing, happy with herself for imparting such erudite wisdom. The sage leaves. The woman holds her smile. Alone she cries. Cries because she's been pregnant 4 times and miscarried every one. Cries because she started trying for a baby on her wedding night, and that was 5 years ago. Cries because her husband has an ex-wife and she has given him children. Cries because she wants desperately to try in vitro but can't even afford the deposit. Cries because she's done an in vitro multiple rounds and still has no children. Cries because her best friend wouldn't be a surrogate. It would be too weird, she said. Cries because her medication prevents pregnancy. Cries because this issue causes friction in her marriage. Cries because the doctor said she's fine, but deep inside she knows it's her. Cries because her husband blames himself and that guilt makes him a hard person to live with. Cries because all her sisters have children. Cries because one of her sisters didn't even want children. Cries because her best friend is pregnant. Cries because she got invited to another baby shower. Cries because her mother keeps asking, girl, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting for? Cries because her in-laws want to be grandparents. Cries because her neighbor has twins and treats them like nothing. Cries because 16-year-olds get pregnant without even trying. Cries because she's an amazing aunt. Cries because she's already picked out names. Cries because there's an empty room in her house. Cries because there's an empty space in her body. Cries because she has so much to offer. Cries because he'd be a great dad. Cries because she would be a great mother, but isn't. Somewhere else, in another woman, 34. 5 children. People say to her, 5? Good Lord, I hope you're done. And then they laugh, because those types of comments are funny. The woman laughs too, but not in earnest. She changes the subject, as she always does, and gives the disrespect a pass. Just another day, alone she cries. Cries because she's pregnant with another and feels like she has to hide the joy. Cries because she always wanted a big family and doesn't see why people seem to be disturbed by it. Cries because she has no siblings and felt profoundly lonely as a child. Cries because her granny had 12 and she'd love to be just like her. Cries because she couldn't imagine life without her children, but people treat her like they are punishment. Cries because she doesn't want to be pitied. Cries because people assume this isn't what she wanted. Cries because they assume she's just irresponsible. Cries because they believe she has no say. Cries because she feels misunderstood. Cries because she's tired of defending her private choices. Cries because she She and her husband are perfectly capable of supporting their family, but that doesn't seem to matter. Cries because she's tired of the funny comments. Cries because she minds her own business. Cries because she wishes others would mind theirs. Cries because sometimes she doubts herself and wonders if she should have stopped 2 kids ago. Cries because others are quick to offer criticism and slow to offer help. Cries because she's sick of the scrutiny. Cries because she's not a sideshow. Cries because people are rude. Cries because so many people seem to have opinions on her private life. Cries because all she wants to do is live in peace. Another woman, 40, one child. People say to her, only one? You never wanted any more? I'm happy with my one, she says calmly. A rehearsed response she's given more than once. More than times that she can even count. Quite believable. No one would ever suspect that alone she cries. Cries because her one pregnancy was a miracle. Cries because her son still asks for a brother or a sister. Cries because she's always wanted at least 3. Cries because her second pregnancy had been terminated to save her life. Cries because her doctor says it would be high risk. Cries because she's struggling to care for the one she has. Cries because sometimes one feels like 2. Cries because her husband won't even entertain the thought of another. Cries because her husband died and she hasn't found love again. Cries because her family thinks once one is enough. Cries because she's deep into her career and can't step away. Cries because she feels selfish. Cries because her postpartum depression was so intense. Cries because she can't imagine going through that again. Cries because she has body issues and pregnancy only exacerbates it. Cries because she still battles bulimia. Cries because she had to have a hysterectomy. Cries because she wants another baby but can't have it. These women are everywhere. They are our neighbors, our friends, our sisters, our co-workers, our cousins. They have no use for our advice or opinions. Their wombs are their own. Let's respect that.
Wow, subhanAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the listeners out there. Abba Zaira, that was so heart-wrenching and so sad what you just read now, and it's a direct reflection, unfortunately, of the state of our ummah and the state of the people we are.
And what we tend to focus on as opposed to what one is actually going through.
And not only focus, but the words we use. You know, and we spoke a lot about this last week, about how to respond in times of need, how to respond in times of bereavement and grief, and how to console people. And sometimes we're just trying to make a conversation, and then we say words like this, only yes. One child,
yes.
Or you only have girls, when are you going to have a boy?
Yes.
You know, and
it's never going to be enough.
It's never going to be enough, and it's not your business.
Exactly.
Because like I spoke about in one of our previous shows, there's your business, other people's business, and Allah's business. And when it comes to things like having a baby, when you're going to get married, this is all in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands.
Definitely.
It's got nothing to do with...
But you know, honestly, I think it doesn't just end with children. All the listeners out there, I mean, some of you have actually stopped what you're doing because you finally feel like, oh my word, someone actually knows what we're going through. It doesn't stop there. You have people... that, I mean, you're breastfeeding your child, or you're not breastfeeding your child. Why aren't you breastfeeding your child? Why aren't you doing it like this? Why can't you do it that way? So, stop being judges in everybody's life, and why don't, for once in your life, you focus on yourself? There's a reason why there's a couple that doesn't have children. There's a reason why someone has 5. There's a reason why a lady can't breastfeed her child. Stop asking questions, and rather maybe contribute in terms of support.
I think the main thing is just we need to be kinder to each other.
Definitely.
But it all starts with being kind to yourself. Because if you're highly critical and you're so negative, you know, with yourself, you're going to be critical and highly negative with the next person as well.
100%. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the Ummahat Show. Lines are open. You can contact us directly on 011-854-1548. Our SMS line is 082-551-3885.
Today we're going to be speaking a little bit about role models, and in today's discussion we discuss why and take a closer look at why is it necessary to have a role model. when you look at role models are people that we can look up to. We often endeavor to emulate their best qualities and attributes. So sometimes they're famous people, sometimes not necessarily famous, but we look up to them. If we look at the first generations of Muslims of Azaira, the men, the women, the children around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these were the best role models. They were the role models of the highest order. So inshallah, later on we're going to look at the lives of Khadija, Asma, Fatima, and touch a little bit on Aisha radiallahu anha, and a few others inshallah. So while I was preparing for today's show, I was thinking, why is it important for us to have role models, and why do role models matter so much? So one thing we know is that people don't attempt to achieve something unless they believe it can be done. We know that people are much more likely to attempt to do things if they've seen that someone like them can do it, because they can relate to that person.
Yeah.
So firstly, we need to know that it can be done, that it's something not impossible. And then we need to know that we can do it. So self-awareness is so critical, once again, you know, in formulating all these beliefs and in formulating our ideas about ourselves and how we're going to move forward and how we're going to reach our goals.
Right. But having said that, I feel like although that's the ideal situation, the article that we read earlier is what we tend to make our role model. So for example, there's a certain auntie in your family and she says a certain thing to you, you tend to hold on more to that than actually sticking to your role model and doing what they did that you would be proud of doing yourself. So I think before we even continue about gaining role models and finding out who your role models are, let go of the bad ones.
Definitely, and I think people in general are a huge contributing factor when it comes to our own self-esteem.
Definitely.
Because the things people tell us can either hinder us or help us. And in most cases, from the article you just recited now, it shows that it actually hinders us and it keeps us back.
100%. And I'm sure there's a listener right now sitting down and thinking, you know what, my entire life I was living to please someone else. In fact, I got married because a certain age had an expiry date. I had children because even that had an expiry date. Then I had another child because that also has an expiry date. And you're so bent on helping and pleasing everyone else, you're forgetting that you need to choose someone that you can aspire to be like, not someone that you need to run away from and only contact them on occasions when they should be proud of you.
And most definitely so. And also when we think about role models, most of the time we're thinking of the youth or children, you know, when they're starting to formulate ideas about the world. But not necessarily, because us as adults now can also choose good role models.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. So let us really internalize, and I want all the listeners to really think about, who do you most admire? So it can be a former teacher, a world leader, a neighbor, your spouse, your parent. And as adults, we tend to give the little thought to the idea of having a role model, like I just said, as we regard this to be a quality that children seek from adults in their lives. However, if you stop and consider who most influences you now and why, you'll no doubt agree that the people you admire now are giving you your most important life lesson.
100%.
And it can either be a positive life lesson or a negative life
That's
lesson.
That's just it.
And you need to know, and you need, inshallah Allah gives us all the insight and the wisdom to know the difference between the two.
Yeah, you see, the thing is, guys, your family you don't choose, right? And you all know that. Whoever your parents are, whoever your siblings are, you cannot choose them. But your role models, you have the right to choose. And no one can stop you. So what is stopping you then?
A lot of times we choose our role models from social media. And that's sometimes quite unfortunate because role models who uphold high ethical or moral values are typically not the people we see on social media. So let's take a look at some of the characters of the people in the media. And I really want you to scrutinize your own lives. And I'm not asking you to look at other people's lives, but really contemplate and ponder and look at your own selves and think, who do I admire? And whether that person is really worthy of your admiration in terms of the Sharia, the Quran, the Sunnah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects from us. We've all been exposed to public figures who might qualify actually as anti-role models. If we just switch on the news right now, there's a whole story about anti-role models, because the world leaders are definitely not our role models today. You know, there's antics that may include being aggressive towards the paparazzi or admitting to abusing illegal drugs. And we see this with celebrities. And unfortunately, not only the youth, but us as adults also follow these celebrities on social media and actually emulate them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because these are the public figures who get the most attention, it's easy to lose your own moral compass and come to believe that you too will get more of what you want in life if you act out every once in a while. So then we take it as a norm that throwing a tantrum is a way to get what you want, because we see this on social media. And studies of aggressive learning in children show that through a process known as vicarious reinforcement, this is how we learn. This is how children learn, and us as adults also, we learn by emulating, by copying this behavior. So unless this public figure who acted out is thoroughly and utterly disgraced and then completely disappears from public view, which most often doesn't happen.
No, never.
Vicarious learning will definitely occur in these in people, you know, that are exposed to these public figures' actions. So I think as parents, we need to be very conscious of this fact to first understand who our role models are and then look into the lives of our children, because we're there and we're meant to guide them, and, you know, and see that they're also following people that are worthy of being followed and emulated.
Definitely, 100%. But I think, you know what, if you ask most, I heard something so interesting the other day that most people, when you ask them who your role models are, they tend to say a person's name that's probably living, probably stays close to them or whatever it is. And I heard this amazing thing that I've never really thought about before, but it was something to the effect that take the deceased to be your role models, because they lived a life a certain way, they did certain things, and then Allah gave them a death that was so honorable and so amazing that their ending was well and good as well. And so because they've made it, and they made it good, take them as your role models, because even the ending is great. And I mean, no person that you're going to look at today walking on the street or whatever it is, someone that dresses well, just FYI, whoever is smiling with good backgrounds and good hair and all of that, that's not the real situation that they are in. That's for that 2 seconds that they're taking that Snapchat filter or whatever it is. It's not real. So all of the social stuff that you are on, it's not real. A person that lived a certain way and acted a certain way and then died a certain way, those people are successful. We don't even know what's going to happen to us now. You know,
that's such an important point, because like you said, true success only lies in the Akhirah, and these people have been guaranteed success in Jannah. So take them as your role models, and like you always tell us, make the Sahaba a point of reference in your life, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. Lines are open, 011-854-1548. Maybe you guys can call us and tell us who your role models are, who you've chosen and take to be someone that you look up to and who you've tried to emulate in your lives. Inshallah, share that with us. Inshallah, that will be great. We just received an SMS. I'm going to read it out to you. It says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And Jazakallah, what you are saying is so relevant to the silent struggles a lot of us go through. If only we could all be more Muslim and less critical. I like that that end line. I'm going to say it again. If only we could all be more Muslim and less critical, inshallah. Jazakallah for that.
I think if we learn more about all the phenomenal heroes in Islam, it actually encourages a growth of mind, a growth mindset, you know, where we're not stuck in a rut and we're not stuck in a comfort zone, and it will actually help us overcome life challenges from very early on. Like just opening the Fadhali Amal and reading to your children like stories every day about the heroes of Islam, that can teach them so much about when they come to a crossroad in their lives and which way to go, inshallah.
Definitely.
It's also been estimated, according to research, that 95% of all human behaviors are learned through looking up to role models. So it's so vital and so very important to have a good role model.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, as a child growing up, you would look to your father, and that's the first man in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first person you love that's of a different sex to yourself. And so what he shows and what he says is love, and how he acts towards you, that is your first love ultimately. So you make him your role model in terms of a man. And then your mother is the first woman that you get into contact with, and how she treats you and deals with you, all of that. That becomes then your reference when it comes to a woman in your life. Your siblings, on the other hand, I think a lot of parents compare you to them and things like that. So the love between siblings and the love that a child has for their parents is completely different. So if you're a father out there, and it's your duty to then be a good role model to your children, because they are going to look at you. And one day, inshallah, they will choose a spouse that is very similar to you, maybe not in terms of looks or whatever it is, but in terms of personality, in terms of certain aspects, they might just be very similar to yourself. And so if you want good spouses for your children, maybe be good role models to them, because that's the kind of friends they're going to have, that's the kind of company they're going to keep, because you are their first love.
And like I said, psychology has actually proven that inevitably that's the type of spouse that you will choose for yourself. So be a good parent, inshallah. Unfortunately, Afadaira, today, sadly in today's 24/7 media saturated environment, we are more likely to choose role models from the field of sport or entertainment, and some ways doing haram things, you know.
But I'm just going to stop you there, and I'm going to ask you, are we really forced, or is there someone that's giving us these things and allowing us to make these people our role models?
I think the media, we just bombard it 24/7. And not only as adults, I think it's even worse for the youth out there.
Yes. And for parents to maybe stop allowing your children to wear so many names on their shirts and on their t-shirts that are role models that shouldn't be taken as role models.
And even, I mean, if you live under a rock and you're not exposed to social media, then just driving down the highway and looking at all these billboards, it's in your face. It's everywhere. So I think self-awareness is then, again, so important, because just being grounded, knowing who you are, that already keeps you level-headed. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a difference between a hero and a role model. A hero is someone you admire, perhaps, for their sporting ability. You know, they have certain talents or strengths, and there's nothing wrong with admiring that ni'mah that Allah Ta'ala has blessed them with. But do they actually lead the kind of lives that we should want to emulate? So that's the difference, that's the fine line. You know, linking it back to the Sharia, finding a reference in the Sahaba and the Anbiya.
Okay. Having said that, Tasneem, who is your role model?
I think for me, it's always been my mum. I've always looked up to her. You know, she's a very strong woman, alhamdulillah. She works in government, she's 65. She's a real powerhouse of a woman.
She's great. I've met her.
And I think when I link it back to the Sahabas, for me it would have to be Khadija. Maybe a mixture of Khadija and Aisha radiallahu anha.
Yes.
I love both of them so dearly, and Allah give me the opportunity of being raised amongst them, because there's a hadith, something to the effect that whoever you love, you will be raised amongst them. And I love them so dearly. When I think of Khadija, she was like the luckiest woman to ever exist. She was married to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most beloved woman to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their marriage was such a beautiful romantic story, you know, and when you look into to their lives, she was an important figure in her own right. We all know that she was married to the best of creation, but even before that, alhamdulillah, she was a successful merchant, one of the most elitist figures in Makkah of that time. She played a central role in not only supporting Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also in propagating deen. So she did dawah. She was my hero and my role model, alhamdulillah. Allah Ta'ala give me at least some of her qualities, inshallah.
Inshallah, I mean, that's so beautiful. And you know what? While you're talking, I just got a message now from your daughter that says, Assalamu alaikum, I'm 18 years old and my mother is my role model, subhanAllah. So,
subhanAllah.
You know, you're sitting here and your mom is your role model, and your daughter is sitting here saying, her mom is her role model.
Allow us to live up to these expectations, inshallah.
Ameen. And usually, like I said, for every person, your mother should be your role model. And a lot of parents bring their children up to be, I want to be my child's friend. And there's a lot of you out there listening to me and thinking to yourself, yeah, but that's what we do want to. Guys, if your child is your friend, your best friend, right? And then they come home one day to say they have a boyfriend, that day, that friendship is going to end very quickly. So it's not your job to be your child's friend. It's your job to be your child's role model, their guide, their pathway forward, inshallah. That's what it is that you need to be. And I think where we all falling short now, and it's coming to the end of our show, and there's still so much for us to discuss, not just the end of our show, but the end of our show in Ramadan. I don't know when we're going to be speaking to the listeners again, inshallah, but this is our last show with you guys. And what we want to end off telling you, inshallah, and hopefully it sends a profound message to your hearts and minds, is that we need to make the Sahaba and the woman Sahaba specifically a point of reference in our lives. And I'm just going to say this to you, that if you are a daughter, then so was Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. who was the one who looked after her father so much that at times she was the only one that could defend him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a time where her nickname was Ummi Abiha, the mother of her father, because of the way she would look after her father. So if you're a daughter out there, then there was a Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha out there, and she led a life that was so amazing that you can take her as your role model. So don't waste time and look at all of these people on social media and these hijab stylists and that person and this icon. Look at the Fatimas of our past, inshallah. And if you are a sister, what about Umar radiallahu ta'ala and whose sister? He beat her and he got so angry with her that she actually bled. But she wanted for him what she had for herself. She was on deen. And even though, despite her brother was whatever it is that he was at the time, she was on the straight path, and she wanted her brother to be on the straight path. And so she forgave him, and she called him to Islam. So if you are a sister, here's a role model for you. What about the sister of Umar radiallahu ta'ala? If you're a wife, then I don't know, I don't think there is a better example to give you. If you're a wife, then why not be like Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha? If you are a wife, why not comfort your husband? Why not accept him? Why not believe in him? Why not be the first person to believe in him, just like Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha? And I mean, there's two extremes here when we're looking at role models. We have Khadija, who was the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we have Asiya alayhi salam, who was the wife of Fir'aun. And so one is a very successful marriage, and another is a marriage that's so tricky, and you know, there's so many tests. I think if there was ever a workshop to say who not to marry, if you just had a picture of Fir'aun on that door, that would be enough information for you to realize who not to marry. And Asiya radiallahu ta'ala anha, who is a woman of Jannah, was married to him. So either situation that you are in, a good marriage or a bad marriage, use one of them as your point of reference, inshallah, as your role model. And if you are a mother, then why not think of Khadija as well? Because Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha gave birth to all the children of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She is the mother of this nation. All the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, in fact, are the mothers of this nation. And if you're just someone that's young and you're looking to educate yourself and you're looking to go into university or whatever, then why not make Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha your role model? Because Aisha, she was the one who was the first university in the history of time. She would have a veil in front of her and she would teach people. So there's a reference for every single person, every single woman, for every whatever role that you are playing currently, there is someone that you can make your role model. And I have one last thing to say to you, that if you're having a problem with the above, with all the people that I've just mentioned, there's an ayat in the Quran, and the ayat in the Quran says, yes, we are able to put together in perfect order the very tips of his fingers. And from that we understand that every person has an identity in their fingerprint. And if you can't find a role model, you be your role model. And I think that's so profound, because Allah has made you unique in your very fingerprint.
Alhamdulillah. I think fortunately Islamic history is peppered with the most amazing role models, men, women and children, from whom we learn how to be great mothers, fathers, teachers, friends, students and many other things. So positive displays of good morals and manners, determination, willpower and high ethical standards help others emulate these positive attributes. According to Islam, Alhamdulillah, we know that the best human beings are the prophets, alayhi salams. After that, the best human beings are the companions, the disciples, and the followers of the prophets. Of course, the greatest example of any exemplary behavior in any given situation is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. We know from his authentic traditions, the sunnah, that his character was the Quran, meaning that he lived and breathed all of the Quran, all that the Quran teaches. When we are looking for role models, we need to look no further than the Prophet himself and those who surrounded him in the early days of Islam. In fact, when following the Sahaba, we are following Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they did not learn Islam from anyone other than him himself. Indeed, their virtues are many, for they are the ones who supported Islam and spread the faith, fought along the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and transmitted the Quran, Sunnah and Islamic rulings. They also sacrificed themselves, their wealth, for the sake of Allah, and we love them all so dearly because Allah loved them and Allah's Messenger loved them also.
Subhanallah. I just got another message now saying that my mother is my role model, And of course, obviously, the Sahaba, we use them as point of, as references. But you see, because the mother is in front of us, it tends to be easier to have a mother as your role model. So subhanAllah. And you know, well, it's good news to all the mothers out there that subhanAllah, you are role models to your child. And so take that as an opportunity for you to make things amazing, make your household amazing. Because if so much of feedback is going towards the mother, and it's been the same since we've started the show, if every person's role model is the mother, then you have a very important role to play.
SubhanAllah. I think it just shows what a great role we play as women. You know, when we spoke about all these different roles. Mm-hmm. So, alhamdulillah. And you know, you asked me earlier about my second role model. There was Aisha radiallahu anha. Who's your role model, Fazaila?
See, well, ultimately, definitely, in a heartbeat, my role model is my mother. Because she's a strong woman, and not just my mother and my father. I see them as my pillars of strength, amazing people, subhanAllah, and very supportive. And you know, the thing is, growing up and whatever it is that life throws at you, every child knows that no matter what happens, you have a house to go to, where people are just going to be there for you, open-armed, whether they're angry or proud of you, they're still going to be, you have a home to go to. So alhamdulillah for that, and I pray that Allah grant them both the highest status in Jannah, because they're amazing people. So if, in terms of people, yes, definitely my mother and my father. In current situations, I do take my husband as a huge role model to me, because he's supported me. He's, you know, his name is Muhammad, and alhamdulillah, Allah has placed so many attributes in him like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I pray that it stays that way inshallah. And in terms of the Sahaba, Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the sister of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in every role that she played, she was amazing. When she was a daughter to Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and she would take food for them in the cave of Thur, and then she got her title from that. When she was a wife, she had a husband that was possessive over her, but she managed it in a way that was so outstanding that even Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had offered her a ride on a camel home, but she refused that, and she rather accepted and the wishes and honor of her spouse. She lost a child, and well, her child was about to go out in battle, and before the child goes out in battle, she says to the child that, you know what, I hope that you die while I'm still alive. And the child says, you're probably the only mother in the history of time that wishes that their child can die while the mother is still alive. And she said, no, it's not like that. It's just that I want to get the reward of a mother that is being patient. So alhamdulillah, in all aspects of her life, she was perfect. She was amazing and outstanding. So alhamdulillah, we have our Khadija, we have the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, and I think so much has been, you know, given to us by the Ummahatul Mu'mineen that we actually called our madrasa and the life that we lead Ummahat, and the show that we are having today called the Ummahat Show. So alhamdulillah, there's so much for us to have and to honor.
And alhamdulillah, like you just said, we're so fortunate that we have so many great role models and heroes to look up to within our deen. You know, we don't even have to look further.
No, you don't.
SubhanAllah. And when I look at the life of Aisha radiallahu anha, that her life alone is proof that a woman can be far more learned than a man, and that she can be the teacher of scholars and experts, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. So we are not limited in any way. Her life is also proof that women can exert influence over men and women and provide them with inspiration and leadership, alhamdulillah. Her life is also proof that the same woman can be totally feminine and be a source of pleasure, joy and comfort to her husband. She was also, as we know, she was also married to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of his most beloved also. So, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala make us like these great women of Islam and raise us amongst them on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah.
Ameen. I've got another SMS here that says that my role model is none other than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was an orphan child. He had nothing. He had a life that was difficult. He was married to Khadija. He was an unlettered man, and then he was given the Quran. And there's so many examples that the message gives, but in a nutshell, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is my role model. We've come to the end of our show, unfortunately, and Eid Mubarak to everyone, and we really enjoyed our time spent with all of you, and Allah accept all of our efforts, inshallah. I hope you enjoyed the Ummahat show. I think Tasneem can just round it off, inshallah.
That's such a pleasure being with all the listeners out every Monday, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us this opportunity again. I just want to end with a little dua, and I ask Allah to make me a better woman, for all of us to look into this and, you know, take it every day, become a better woman than the one I was yesterday. So not only trying to be better than everybody else, but looking at yourself and trying to be better than you were yesterday. It takes time to become who you really want to be. And like we spoke about every week, that self-awareness and building yourself up and getting to know yourself is a process. And as Muslims, we can only strive to be better. So I ask Allah to help all my brothers and sisters, to help them become the best versions of themselves. I ask Allah to ease any hardship we may all face. I ask Allah to ease your struggles. I've witnessed before the way the words of Allah change the hearts of people, the way He purifies their souls. I pray this month for Allah to guide me down the right path and to guide all of us. I pray that we're able to appreciate His blessings and learn the true beauty of forgiveness. I also pray to be a better woman and for all of us to be better people. And I know that it is only me that has to take the steps to become better, inshallah. So let us all take heed to these beautiful words and remember us in your du'as during these last few nights of Ramadan, and have a blessed Eid, inshallah.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.